So we're in the middle of the discussion of if someone forgot and he put something in his mouth without making a bracha. Why do you have to spit it out if it does not get disgusting? Why can't you just move it to one side of your mouth and make the bracha? Because it says, "My mouth shall be full of your praise." So when you say a bracha or any praise to Hashem, b'etzem your mouth should not have anything in it, and you should fill your mouth only with the praise of Hashem. So if it's going to get disgusting by spitting it out, and you won't want to eat it. Okay, so we're not able to be mekayim this. But if it won't get disgusting, so that's why we tell you to spit it out, say the bracha, then put it back in and eat it. Now, based on this, the Mishnah Berurah brings down in the name of the Eshkol that obviously, when a person makes a bracha, he shouldn't mumble the bracha and go, "Brachat Hashem." He should open his mouth wide and enunciate it clearly, so that he should be filling his mouth with the bracha. Says the for the bracha, if a person was eating and drinking and forgot to make a bracha, so should he make a bracha at this point? Amalahu said to them, "If someone ate garlic and has bad breath, so what, should he eat more garlic so that his breath should be worse and for longer?" Amar Ravina says, "Ravina Hilchach, therefore, since we see that you can make the bracha in the middle of while you're eating, I feel even if you finished eating, you should make the bracha." The sound we learned in advice. So you tell the Olive Omer Balyasa Baruch Shavitzman Allah Tvila. The person went to mikveh, so after he comes out of the mikveh, that's when he says the bracha. So we see you could also make the bracha afterwards. Wallahi says, "No, it's not true. Over there, going to the mikveh, he wasn't able to say the bracha before he went in." According to Rashi, we're talking about someone who was a balkeri and saying a bracha is like Divrei Torah, and therefore he's not allowed to say the bracha, so he can only say the bracha after he comes out. According to Taisus, it could be talking about a ger, right? It's talking about a ger. So he was not able to make a bracha because it wasn't Jewish. He's only Jewish after he comes out of the mikveh, so that's when he's able to make the bracha. Whereas opposed to over here, where he really should have made a bracha beforehand, and he didn't. So once the mitzvah was pushed away, so it was pushed away, that's it. He lost his ability to make the bracha. And the Rosh says that's the maskana, that as long as you're still eating, so you could make the bracha, but once you're finished, so you lost it, you can't make the bracha anymore. We hold that if you're finished eating, you're not obligated to eat a little bit more so that you can make a bracha on what you're going to eat further. However, other places can say that the Mishnah Berurah says that it's best to taka do like that, because anyway there are some Rishonim that hold that we paskin like Ravina that you could make the bracha afterwards. Just that the Gemara was rejecting the proof of Ravina, but Ravina would still be the halacha. So since there are Rishonim that hold that anyway you're supposed to make the bracha afterwards, right? So the best thing would be to do like the opinion that holds that you should eat a little bit more, make a bracha on what you're going to eat further. And according to some opinions, by making the bracha on what you're going to eat further, that fixes the avera that you did by eating without making a bracha beforehand. Now, regarding the bracha on going to the mikveh, the Rishonim over here speak out that since there are some cases, whether it's the balkeri or whether it's the ger, that you can only make the bracha afterwards. Therefore, we became like a blanket minhag to always make the bracha on going to the mikveh after they already dunked and went into the mikveh. And Tosfos says that the same thing applies to washing your hands, that we don't make al netilas adayim before we do it, even though normally you're supposed to make a bracha before you do a mitzvah, right? But since sometimes you're not able to make the bracha before you wash your hands, because let's say you came out of the bathroom and your hands are all dirty, so you can't make the bracha before you wash your hands. So therefore we just made the minig became loy plug, and to make the bracha afterwards. The mechaber sounds like he holds that really the best way to do it is that you wash your hands, you pour the first round of water, and then you rub your hands together, you make the bracha, and then you pour the second round of water. However, that's not our minig, right? The Mishnah Berurah says that our minig is that we wash our hands, we completely finish washing our hands, and then we say the bracha before we dry our hands. And the chatchila, a person definitely should be makbid not to make the bracha while netilas sidayim. After drying his hands, he should be makbid to make the bracha before drying his hands. However, even if he did already dry his hands, he still should make the bracha, unless he's already said hamaitzi. If he's already said hamaitzi, then he lost it. He can't say al netilas sidayim anymore, unless his hands are still wet and he didn't dry them, then he could still say the al netilas sidayim. Obviously, you have to wait until after he eats a little bit of the bread, so that it shouldn't be a hafzik between the hamaitzi and the eating of the bread. Okay, so now says the Gemara further. Tanur Rabbanan learned that by asparagus, which is some type of wine drink. I mean, asparagus nowadays is asparagus. I have no idea if that's what the word asparagus in the Gemara means, but it's some type of wine drink. It's good for the heart, good for the eyes, all the more so that it's good for the intestines. If someone is accustomed to drinking it, it's good for his whole body. But if a person gets drunk on it, then it's bad for his whole body. And the fact that it says that it's good for the heart, that shows us that we're talking about an aspargos, which is a wine-based drink. And it says that it's all the more so better for his intestines. But we learned that a brisa, that for the lave, einayim tchol, for the heart, eyes, and spleen, it's good. And the ramat, roish, meayim tachtonios, for his head, for his intestines, and for hemorrhoids, some type of hemorrhoid issue, it's bad, meaning it can cause problems. The one that said that it's good for the intestines is talking about old wine, which Rashi says at least 3 years old. If a person made a vow not to drink wine because wine is bad for intestines, and people said to him, but old wine, which is at least 3 years old, is good for the intestines. The Shah second he was quiet. So then he's only forbidden to drink wine which is new, meaning less than 3 years old, and wine which is at least 3 years old. 3 years old he would be allowed to drink. So we see that it's the old wine of at least 3 years vintage, if you will, which is good for the intestines as well. Six things is said about this drink called aspargos. You drink it only when it's not diluted. And it has, the cup should be full. You accept the cup with your right hand, which I said was small, but you drink it while holding it with your left hand. You don't talk after it. For how long, I'm not sure. And you don't interrupt in the middle, just you drink it all, you know, within one continuous drink. And the cup, when you're finished with it, you give it back to the person who originally gave it to you. You should spit after drinking it. And you should eat a food after drinking it, which is the type of species that it is based on. You're supposed to eat bread after it. One was talking about beer. If it's wine, so then you eat bread after it. If it's beer, then whatever the beer is based on, if it's date beer, if it's barley beer, so you should eat whatever it is. If it's fig beer, you should eat that type of species after drinking this beer-based aspargos drink. One price says that for the heart, eyes, and spleen, it's good, and for the head, intestines, and some hemorrhoid issues, it's bad. Another price says the exact opposite. One is talking about the wine, one is talking about the beer, and as we said before, it's the wine one which is good for the heart, eyes and spleen, and not so good for the head and intestines and hemorrhoids, and the beer one is the opposite. One price says that if you spit after drinking it, so something bad will happen to you. You'll suffer. Another price says that if you don't spit after it, so then you're going to suffer. So one says don't spit, one says spit. One is talking about wine, one is talking about beer. Rashi says by the wine, you don't spit by the beer. There's some like after liquid that comes up in your mouth that you have to spit it out. So now that you told me that if you don't spit after the beer aspargos, so you could suffer, you something bad could happen to you, so you're allowed to spit it out even in front of a king. Even though normally spitting in front of a king would be considered very inappropriate. But since over here it's a person is in danger of suffering something or other, so then he's allowed to spit it out even in front of the king. Alright, so this is one of those sugyas which, you know, that we just learned about the aspargos drink. We don't obviously have this aspargos drink, so, you know, what it means for us, I'm not sure, if anything. But, you know, we learn it because it's chazal, and even if we don't understand it properly, but we, at the very least, we read through it, and we try to at least touch it, and move on. Three things were told to me by Suriel, the Minister of the Interior. Rashi says this means this is a very chashav malach, a very significant malach who is close to Hashem, so to speak. So he told me three things. Don't take your shirt in the morning from the servant. Take it yourself from wherever it's hanging. In the morning when you're doing negel vasar, don't let someone else wash your hands for you. If that person has not yet done negel vasar. If he's already washed his hands in the morning, then it's okay. And also, the place we say it's only for negel vasar when you wake up in the morning, but for a meal, then it doesn't make a difference. And don't give back the cup that of the aspargos drink except to the person that originally gave it to you. Different names for groups of malachim that harm people, that harm a person. Mitzavel and the Adam, they were always waiting for a person. When will a person come to one of these things and get caught, and will be able to damage him? Now, it's these things, for whatever reason, for metaphysical reasons, it sounds like, are dangerous. By the way, the one of these things which is brought lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch is not having someone who has not yet done negel vasa in the morning wash your hands for you. He could bring you the water, but just he shouldn't pour it on your hands. The others are not brought lahalacha. I guess the one about asparagus, because we don't really know what this asparagus drink is. And the one about not taking your shirt, I guess, because we don't really have servants bringing us our shirts in the morning. Okay, Amar Rishon Levi, Shulchan Aruch, Malachim Malachim. All these three things were told to me by the angel of death. Says in Rishon Levi, don't take your shirt in the morning from the servant that Tilosh and wear it, rather take it yourself. Don't let someone who's not yet done Negel Vasar wash your hands for you in the morning. And do not stand in front of women that are coming back from having escorted a deceased to his grave in the cemetery, because I am dancing amongst them, and I have my sword drawn, and I have the permission to damage. The paga, and if you meet up with such a group of women, or maybe even woman possibly, it says women, so sounds like at least two. Maita kante, so what do you do? Lynch of midurte arba amas. You should immediately jump from your spot 4 amas, which is about 2 meters. And then if there's a river, go over to the other side of the river. Or if there's another road to leave that area, I guess a different road from the one you came, or a different road that they're going on, so go on that road. And if there's a wall, so stand behind the wall. And if you don't have any of these options, so turn around and say, Hashem said to the Satan, Hashem should, provoke against you and push you away, etc. That pasuk ad chalfi minei until they pass by, and the Beis Yosef brings down in the name of the Zayar, based on this whole concept, that you should tell women that they should not go into a cemetery when it's a levaya, meaning when they are bringing the nifter, when they're bringing the deceased to his grave, women should not follow the deceased into the cemetery. They should wait outside of the boundaries of the actual cemetery itself, and they can look from there, because if they do, then they can cause this, thing about the Sutton, etc., to be able to cause damage to people. But the Shach points out that it's fine for them to be part of the Levaya until they get to the cemetery. Just once they get to the cemetery, so then they should stop and wait and just wait outside of the actual boundaries of the Beis HaKadosh itself. Says more further. Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Yevo, Varmilav Masis Atana. So Rav Zera said in the name of Rav Yevo. Some say it was a brisa. Asar Dvarim Namar Bukesh Bracha. There are 10 things said about the cup of wine that we use for a bracha, right? Whether it's a paiskim say, whether it's benching, whether it's kiddush, whether it's sheva brachas, whether it's avdalah. So what are these 10 things? Tana Adacha B'Shtivah Chayu Mali Itav Itav Noida B'Shtayad Av Nais B'Yom B'Gimim B'Kargo Tavach B'Nais Einel Boi B'Shem Avshangu B'Tan Lanchu B'Shem. All right, that was a mouthful. So what are these things? Hadaka v'shtiva is to wash it off inside and out. Chai means that when you pour the wine in, so the wine should be poured in an undiluted state into the cup, and then only once it's in the cup, then you should dilute it. Another pshat that Rashi brings down is that you should pour from the barrel, or for us, from the bottle, into the cup, first of all, right before you're ready to bench, and not as opposed to just pouring it and having it sit there until you're ready to bench. And also, it should be poured with that intention, as opposed to, let's say, if a person just poured a cup of wine, then it's time to bench, he's like, I'll just use that cup of wine for benching. No, the cup of wine for benching, or for Kiddush, or Avdala, or whatever it is, should be poured specifically for that purpose. And we pass, like, and this is the way it should be done, right? It should, obviously the whole issue of diluting is not applicable to us, but it should be poured, first of all, right before you're ready to do the mitzvah, right? And so that shouldn't be waiting around. It should be poured specifically for that purpose. Umale, the cup should be full. Some places can say that it should be mamish full, even the surface tension, right? Even though it's going to wind up spilling a little bit. Others say that no, you don't have to fill it up that much. You could fill it up to the point where it's not going to spill. Iter, so we'll see later in the Gemara what that means. Iter, we'll see later what that means. When you take it with both of you, pick it up with both of your hands. Other places came the way it said, they have a gear of mekabel b'shtayadav, that someone else hands it to you and you accept it with both of your hands. Then you put it only in your right hand for the mitzvah. You lift it up. If you're sitting on the ground, so you lift it up a tefach, which is about 8 centimeters, 3 or 4 inches from the ground. If you're sitting at the table, so you lift it up a tefach from the table, 3 or 4 inches 8 centimeters roughly from the table. And the Torah explains in order so that everybody should be able to see it, right? So if you have things in front of you, so I think you'd have to lift that up higher or move them out of the way, so because everybody with you should be able to see the cup. But nice and above, and you should look at it so as not to have your concentration distracted from whether it's Kiddush benching or whatever it is. It's obvious that if you're benching from a bencher, or if you're saying Kiddush from a bencher, or whatever it is, you know, from a sitter or a bencher, then that's also perfectly fine. And perhaps even more lechatchila, right? This is talking back in the days when they didn't have benchers, it was Torah Shebaal Peh. And then you should also, when you're finishing your drinking, you should give a little bit and send it as a chash of a gift to the people of your household, referring to your wife, and also it's brought down the guests as well, because it's kosher bracha, it's kosher bracha, it's an Indian to drink the kosher bracha, it gives a bracha. Rabbi Yechon says, we only have four things, bilvad, that's it. You have to wash it out inside and out. It should be chai, which we explained before what that means, and mole in full. Fine. Tana, hadacha mifnim shtifa b'chutz, hadacha is washing it off on the inside, shtifa is washing it off on the outside. If you bench, or you say your bracha, whatever the bracha is, over a full cup, so then he will be given an inheritance without boundaries. Shenamar umalei birchas Hashem, full the blessing of Hashem, so rem is to saying the bracha of benching, kiddush, etc., over a full cup. Yam medorim yirosha, right, so he will inherit the sea, the south, meaning it just sounds like, you know, it'll just go and go and go. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina says he will merit to inherit two worlds, this world and the next world. Now, what exactly this means that, you know, just saying your bracha over a kais mali is such a big inyan, right? We saw in the beginning of the Masechta that when we had these types of gemaras, the Talmud Rabbeinu Yonah would ask, you know, how could it be that this is such a big schus in of itself? So, you know, it's the type of thing where Chazal are speaking biramazim, and it's, you know, if you have to work it out, you have to think about it. What could it be that they mean, right? Perhaps, I'm just going to throw something out, perhaps they mean that when a person fills the cup up all the way, so what's the difference between a person filling the cup up, you know, just enough so that you have a revius to your yitzhak, or filling the cup up all the way? The difference is, it's a whole outlook on mitzvahs, right? Do I do a mitzvah just because, okay, I have to, fine, so I'll do as much as, you know, as much as necessary, and that's it, right? Or do I do a mitzvah because I want to, I'm happy, I'm excited, right? I want to beautify it, I want to show that all the blessing comes from Hashem, etc., etc., etc. So, obviously, if a person has these two very, very different, fundamentally different outlooks on how to serve Hashem, that can make a very big, significant difference in the way that Hashem, so to speak, responds to him and rewards him. So that's just one possible idea. But in general, we have to understand that when Chazal make these types of very seemingly extreme and absolute statements, you know, the Ramchal also talks about this, many talk about this, you have to work on understanding what it is that they really meant. You know, when it comes to Agarta. Alright, says Gemara further. Itur. What is Itur? Which literally means crowning. Rav Yehuda Ma'atreya, but tell me that Rav Yehuda would crown the cup with students, meaning he would have his students kind of sit around him, so it's kind of like a crown for the whole benching over a cup situation. Rav Chisa Ma'atreya bin Ha'le, Rav Chisa would surround the Kaisha Bracha with other cups to beautify it. Omer Rav Yehanan, Chai, Omer Rav Sheshes, Ad Birchas Haaretz. I'm going with the girsa that's brought down in the Masoreth Shas. That Chai Amar Rav Sheshes Ad Birchas Haaretz. That you only dilute the wine, you keep it undiluted in the cup until you get to the bracha Menayid Lecha, and then you dilute it when you get to the bracha Menayid Lecha. Rabbi Yehuda explains that the idea is because that way the bracha Menayid Lecha is all about the praise of Eretz Yisrael. So when you get to that bracha, that's where you really bring out the praise of Eretz Yisrael by diluting it and showing a chash of the wine is, etc. Again, we don't have this whole diluting business, so for us it's not really Nageya. The Beis Yosef does bring down that it could be that Al Pi Kabbalah there's an Indian, and though maybe to add a few drops of water when you get to the Bracha Menayid Lecha. I really don't know if there are any Sfardim or people who are knowing Al Pi Kabbalah to do that, but you know, certainly, you know, the widespread minhag of Ashkenazim at least is that since we don't have the whole issue of diluting, so it's just, you know, it's not really Nageya for us, and we just fill the cup up all the way at the beginning of benching. Rav Papa mi'atev yasir. Rav Papa would wrap himself in a talis for ituf mamish kipshuta. Ravasi pas sudar al reishi. Ravasi would cover his head with a sudar, some type of kerchief or something. Night levish le'yadav, holding it with two hands. I'm rabchin bar Papa mikra. What's the pasuk? Su yedechem kadosh varchas Hashem. Lift up your hands in holiness and bless God. V'nosel liyamin, put it into your right hand. I'm rabchin bar Papa mi'yechnan. Rishonim shalu. The early generations asked, Smol avashet to say liyamin. Can the left hand help out the right hand holding up the cup? Since the early ones asked this question and didn't come up with an answer. And I'm not with the Chumrah, so we're going to go with Chumrah, and the left should not help the right. It's brought down the halacha that Me'ikar Adin, if you have only the right hand holding, actually touching the cup, and just you put your left hand kind of under your right hand so that your left hand is not touching the cup, but it's just helping the right hand hold it up, then that's Mutar Me'ikar Adin. And the Gemara is talking primarily about where the left hand is also touching the cup. So if the left hand is not touching the cup, it's just touching your right hand, so then Me'ikar Adin, that would be okay. But the place can say, L'chatchila, it's better not to do that. What I've seen for myself is that if you rest your elbow, you know, if you have your whole arm up in the air, so that could be a little bit difficult. But if you rest your elbow on the table or the arm of the chair, it's a lot easier to hold up the cup. And as far as I'm aware, there's absolutely no basis for saying that that's usur, that, you know, that wouldn't be good. Says the Gemara, further, he lifted up a tevach from the ground. What's the pasuk? What is the basis for this? The cup of salvation I will lift up, and in the name of Hashem I will call out. You gaze upon it, so that you should not lose your concentration from the bracha that you were saying, whether it's Kiddush, Avdala, benching, etc. You send it to your household member as a gift, so that your wife should be blessed. Because it's Kaisa bracha, it's the bracha, it's the cup of bracha. Ula Ikla Beir Vanachman Ula once visited the house of Vanachman, Karach Rifta, they ate, Baruch Bechaz Uzenu, Ula led the benching, Yahweh the Kasa, the Bechaz of Vanachman, and he gave some of the Kaisa bracha to Vanachman at the end to drink. So then Vanachman said, please send some of it to my wife Yalta. So Ula said, then there's no reason. Rabbi Yechanan said that the fruit of the stomach of a woman is blessed from the fruit of the stomach of a man. Meaning the blessing, the man drinks the kosher bracha, and then his beten, his insides will become blessed, will become his barich, and then through that his wife will also become his barich, will become blessed. Shemar, as it says, uverach privit necha, and he will bless the fruit of your stomach. Privit na loy nemar, doesn't say her stomach, but privit necha, your stomach. Tanya miyachi, we also have a bris like that. Rabbi Nosan, Rabbi Nosan, privit na shalish, his barich, privit na shalish. How do we know that the fruit of the inside of a woman is only blessed from the fruit of the inside of a man, meaning the seed? Shenemar uvenach privit necha, and he will bless the fruit of your stomach. Privit na loy nemar, doesn't say her stomach, but privit necha, your stomach. Adachi sham Yalta. In the meantime, Yalta got wind of this conversation. She got up in a flash of anger, went to the storage room where all the wine barrels were stored, and she broke 400 barrels of wine. This is a very important lesson about... I actually saw in the Kunches V'chassanim of Rav Shlomo Volvo that when a person does something that really takes his wife off, and his wife has a fit of rage, if that happens, he has to realize that what he is seeing in front of him is literally a manifestation of the Midas Hadin in Shemaim on him. Now, what does this mean vis-a-vis women? Are they held accountable for their fits of anger if they do? I mean, obviously men have their fits of anger also. But, you know, women tend to be very emotional and sometimes can be set off seemingly easily. And, like, you know, like this case of the Gemara over here with the Alta, that just in a flash of anger, she did something extremely, you know, rash. So we have to understand, you know, what does that mean vis-a-vis the women? Are they held accountable? Not held accountable? How much are they held accountable? Obviously, they're bali, bechira, etc. But that's not the point of our discussion right now. What we're discussing right now is for us men, right? For us men, we have to understand that when and if types of things this happens, this is not something that we are supposed to get upset at our wives for. Rather, we have to understand that this is a manifestation of Midas Hadin. And it's a very scary thing, and the only way to respond to it is to take it. Get the point. Right? And appease her. Appease the Midas Hadin, so to speak. Right? Be mamtik the din with rachamim. Anyway, says the Gemara further. Amalei Rav Nachman Mishnah Lomar Kosach Reina. So Rav Nachman said to Ula, you know, I think we should maybe send her a different cup of wine. Shalachla, so Ula sent to her, and he said as follows. He sent her the following message. Kolei Navigat Debirchusayi. Oh, this whole cup is also bracha. I mean, the whole barrel is bracha. Shalachla, she sent back to him. She was still apparently quite upset. Mahadure mile, from people that go around from city to city and visiting people's houses, there's a lot of talk, a lot of chatter. Umismartute kalme, and from old worn out rags, there come lice. That was, you know, she was not exactly satisfied with the second cup that came her way. And, you know, and again, another very important point is that it's obvious that Yalta was accustomed to getting kosher bracha, so, you know, when she didn't get it, she was really upset. So I think, you know, this is also an important point to take note of, that something that, you know, that your wife is accustomed to, you need to make sure to continue it and not, you know, miss the step, so to speak. Says the Gemara further, Amar Biyasi and Mizikhan al-Koysha Bracha, you're not allowed to talk on the cup of benching, which basically means that from the time that he starts benching until the time, that he makes the bracha over the cup, and according to Mishabrun, until after he finishes drinking it, you can't talk. And Tosis brings down that not only him himself, but also everybody eating there together with him. You don't make a bracha over a cup of punishment, of bad tidings. My kosh bonus, what is this referring to? It's referring to the second cup. We also have a bris like that. Someone who drank two cups of wine, so he did his zugais, pears, which is the Gemara Navar Pesachim, which is no good. It can cause shaving to damage him or something. Lo yivarech, he should not be the one to leave benching. Shum shenemer, hikon nikos elokech Yisrael, prepare yourself, O Israel, to greet your Lord. V'haylem misakin, and he's not fixed up. Amen. Rivav Rabbi Lo Mesis Atana. Rivav said, or it's a brisa. Ha'ichlo mahalech, someone who was eating while walking, mevarech meumad. He could say he could bench while standing. Uchshu ha'ichlo meumad, if he ate while standing, mevarech meyushev. He has to sit down for benching. Uchshu meisav ha'ichlo, when he reclined while eating, yoshev mevarech, he must sit down while benching. V'hilchsa lehalacha, how do we paskin? In all of these cases, you have to sit down while benching. Okay, now we have a bunch of things on the, you know, in the halachas over here. We mentioned a few of them already, so I'm not going to go over the ones that we mentioned, you know, as we were reading the Gemara. So let's just see which ones we did not mention. Okay, we mentioned about the wife, about the visitors, we mentioned about pouring it out. Okay, so first of all these things. Taisa says, I mean, the Gemara sounds like Rabbi Yechon said, Lahalacha, even though there's a brisa that says 10 things, we only do 4 things. Stifa Adacha Chai Malay, right? Which for us it would only be Negea 3 because we don't have Chai, because we don't dilute our wine, but the part about pouring it in right before and pouring it in specifically for that purpose, that would apply. Malay would apply, and that it should be full. Stifa Adacha, washing it out. So Taisa says, how do we paskin? So basically, Taisa says that it sounds like from the Gemara later, that even Rabbi Yechon would agree that you are supposed to hold it up only with your right hand, and the Rosh says based on that, it would make sense that all the halachas of holding it, you know, receiving it with both of your hands, right, and holding up a tefach, right, and making sure that you keep your eyes on it and sending it, you know, so the Rosh says, you know, it's basically, it's machlek is how many of these things we come out with, like the halacha or not, right? And basically, basically what comes out is that for sure, washing the cup out, which, by the way, Taisa says that the whole need to wash the cup out is only if it's dirty. Like, you know, like let's say you dipped your challah into your, you know, and then now there's crumbs left over, but if it's clean, you don't have to. Other Rishonim say that, no, even, you know, unless you mamish right now took it out of the cupboard and it's spanking clean, you should wash it out for the covet of the bracha. Mishmur says, l'chatchil, you should do like that. Me'ikar, then you only have to wash it out, both inside and out, if it got dirty, if it, you know, has crumbs in it, etc. So that for sure, shtifa v'hadacha for sure, malay for sure, to fill it up either with surface tension or without the surface tension, right? Different minhagim, right? That for sure. Chai, it sounds like for the Mishnah Berurah that's not an absolute obligation because we don't have, you know, we don't have the diluting business. So that's mitzvah mina mofcher. And everything else, it sounds like for the Mishnah Berurah you ought to be doing it, but it's not likuva. It's not an absolute obligation. So yeah, so lemaisa, you are supposed to either pick it up with both of your hands, receive it with both of your hands, make sure to holding it in your right hand, it sounds like, according to most poskim, is mamish meikar adin, right? Holding it up a tevach above the table, right? Keeping your eyes either on it or your bencher, right? As I mentioned before, I think that's pashut, that if you have a bencher, it would be even better to keep your eyes on the bencher, that's what I would think, right? And when it comes to iter, so basically it sounds like iter is the main one that we don't really have. As far as I'm aware, gronix are takamakmit to do like Rav Chisda's iter, which is to have little cups or other cups surrounding it so that it's, you know, beautifying the kaishal bracha. But itof as well, Mishabur says the minig is that we put on a hat, and the Magen Avraham says a hat and a jacket, right? And not only that, but the Mishabur says that not just the person who's leading the benching and holding the kaishal bracha, but even everybody else, and even if a person's benching by himself, the minig of Klal Yisrael became that we put on a hat and jacket. We put on a hat and jacket. The other Rishonim that sound like that, it was talking that back in the time of Chazal, when not everybody was makbid to wear a yarmulke, right? And it just means, it just means making sure that your head is covered when you make the bracha. Other Rishonim say, what are you talking about? Right? You have to have your head covered for any bracha that you make. What do you mean, dafka for benching? So some answer that, no, it's talking about everybody else at the table, right? That when it comes to a person making a bracha himself, you're right, you always have to have your head covered, right? But what the Rush meant is that the other people sitting at the table, they're not the ones actually making the bracha in the time of Chazal, they're listening from him and being yoytze from him. So they, technically speaking, do not have to, cover their heads, so it's a funny way they have to cover their heads. But again, la halacha, we paskin, although it's not, you know, strictly speaking, obligatory, but Minhag Yisrael is to wear a hat and jacket when you bench, even if you're benching by yourself without a kais at all. Okay, that basically more or less covered most of what we have on Amud Aleph over here. Okay, so now on Amud Beis, let's see what we've got over here. So we talked about the left hand helping the right hand, that you're not supposed to do that. We talked about not talking. Okay, so now Tysus mentions, it just comes up in Tysus over here, that if someone did talk in the middle of benching, as long as the way the Mishabura explains it, as long as he didn't miss the critical points of benching that you're not yaitze without them, so you're still yaitze. Obviously, you're not allowed to lechatchila to do that, right? But b'di'evid, you are yaitze. If you did miss any critical points of benching that without them you're not yaitze, so then in Achanami, you would not be yaitze. Right, and from what point are you not allowed to talk? So Meikar Adin only from when he actually starts benching, but Lechatchila we say that really you should be careful from the point when he picks up the cup, then already you should desist from talking. Oh, a very important halacha that comes up over here in the context of this whole sugya is that it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch that there is an opinion that holds that when it comes to Hefsek, and we saw before that if a person's in the middle of Shema or the Brachas of Shema, so you're allowed to be Masik, Mimnei Ayirah, Mimnei Akavayid, right, etc. But when it comes to benching, there's a Yesh Ayrim that holds that benching we treat like Shemona Esrei. So the only justification whatsoever to interrupt in the middle of benching would be if it's Sakonis Nefashis Mamish, that it's a danger to life, and other than that, you're not allowed to interrupt. So we have to take a chizik from here that, you know, if we're benching with our kids, not to like, you know, motion to them, or with our eyes, or go, no, no, right, you know, if they're not paying attention, you know, listen, if you want to really be mechanic to kids, probably, and I'm talking to myself, right, and anybody else who wants to listen, you should bench with them after you bench yourself, and then you bench with them, obviously not saying Shem Hashem, well, it chooses maker, then you probably could say Shem Hashem, right, but whatever the case may be, you're really not allowed, you know, to be, you know, making, you know, motions with your head, with your fingers, or with your eyes, and, you know, kind of indicating things, because we lechatchila or machmir to treat benching like Shmona Esrei in this regard of not interrupting. Also regarding the halacha that you have to be seated when benching, right, you're supposed to sit up, be'ema, v'yira, you sit in an upright position, you know, you don't kind of like lean back in your chair, you're supposed to sit, you know, with ema, because again, it's a Taisa says it's de'araisa, Mishmur says even for the fourth bracha you have to be makbid about it. And by the way, the whole thing with Zugais, the Rabbeinu Yoni says that it's that based on the Gemara in Psachim, it's only for someone who you know really you know takes these things to heart and is worried about them and nervous about them. For someone who doesn't you know really pay attention to these things, so based on the Gemara in Psachim, so it's for him it's not a kais shel peranus, and therefore it's not a problem for him to lead the benching. And that's what the Beis Yosef says. And nowadays we're not makbid on the whole inyan of Zugais, and it doesn't matter you know if he had two cups, three cups, four cups, he could lead the benching. Now the Rosh speaks out, and this is how we paskin, right? That if a person is traveling and was eating while traveling, so just like we say by Shema and Shmona Esrei, that you don't have to stop traveling Me'ikar Adin in order to say Shema and Shmona Esrei, because we're worried that it's going to distract your kavana, because you're thinking the whole time about being held up from your trip, etc. So too by benching, right? Now I mentioned back then when we dealt with that sugyo that nowadays, you know, I've never seen anybody, and I don't think anybody's seen anybody, well, at least 99.9% of people, you know, that they daven Shmona Esrei while driving in their car, you know, because they're in the middle of a trip. Nowadays, the minhag is that we stop, you know, people stop, they stop off on the side of the road, and they daven Shmona Esrei, like I mentioned. I mentioned back then, the reason is because the whole reason why you would keep traveling is to have proper kavana. But nowadays, the place can speak out, even from the time of the Yishanim, even the Yishanim, we don't really have proper kavana nowadays anyway. So for us, it's not going to help by continuing to travel. So the question is, what about benching? Like benching, I'm not so sure that the minhag is so clear-cut like that. You know, let's say if a person is commuting, let's say from home to work, and he's got, let's say, a half hour commute, you know, whatever it is, and he's eating breakfast on the go, and he's eating a sandwich. So does he have to pull off onto the side? So for sure, Ikar Adin, he's allowed to bench in the car as he's driving on his way to work. Would there be a minhag to stop off on the side and bench? I don't think so. So I think over here, you know, I think it would be pretty safe to say that if you were in a traveling mode while eating, so then you would be allowed to continue traveling while benching. Obviously, if you stopped off on the side of the road to eat, then you would have to bench, you know, also in a proper sitting position, etc. By the way, it's also brought down in the halacha that for me'ein shalosh as well, alat mechia, etc., lichatchila, a person should be makbid to sit just like by benching. Had alach shalosh yishachlu, Baruch Hashem, we have made it through Perek Shvi, and now we are up to Perek Shmini. Moving right along, the train of Dafyomi stops for nobody. If you miss a day, you gotta really work hard to catch up. Alright, let's go!
Perek Shmini. Eilu Dvarim Shmei Meshamim Ben Meisel B'Seudo. The following things are machlekes between Meshamim and Meisel when it comes to a meal. Meshamim Mevarach Al Yayin Vachkach Mevarach Al Yayin. Meshamim says that when it comes to Kiddush, first you say the bracha over the Kiddush HaYayim, and then at the end you make the Bari Pri Agaf and Beis HaLayim, and this is how we pasken, obviously. Mevarach Al Yayin Vachkach Mevarach Al Yayin. First you make the Bari Pri Agaf, and then you make the bracha over the day. Beshami says that first you wash your hands, then you mix your cup of wine. Which sounds like, in our vernacular, would be wash before Kiddush. Beshami says, no, first you should dilute the cup and mix your wine, and then wash your hands. Which in our vernacular would sound like Kiddush first, then wash. We'll see this sugya bli nether later. You wipe your hands with a shmata, and you leave it on the table. Beisol says you leave it on the pillow. Off the table. Beisol says first you sweep up the floor, and then you do mayim achrenim. Beisol says no, you can do mayim achrenim, and then afterwards sweep up the floor. Beshami says that when you're going to make Havdalah and benching over the same cup of wine, because you only have one, so the order is Ner Umazon B'Som V'Havdalah. First you make the bracha over the Havdalah candle, then you make the bracha of benching, meaning all the brachas of benching, then you make the bracha of Besamim, and then the bracha of Hamavdil. Beisol says no. First candle, then Besamim, then you bench, then you say the bracha of Hamavdil. The bracha over the Havdalah candle is Shebara Me'er Ha'esh, who created the flame of the fire. He who creates the flames, in the plural, of the fire. And you're not allowed to make a bracha over a candle or over incense of a guy. And not over the candle and the incense of a deceased. And not over a candle or the incense of a vadazara. You can't make a bracha over the candle unless you are able to benefit from its light. If a person ate and forgot to bench or make his bracha achrayna, Beshami says you have to go back to where you ate and bench over there. No, you just bench wherever you remembered. Till how long do you have to be able to bench? Until it is already digested inside of you. If wine came after you finish your meal, and that's the only cup of wine that you have, Beshami says make the bracha over the wine and then bench. You don't have to necessarily leave the cup of wine for benching. Beshami says no, bench and then say the bracha over the wine, meaning save the cup of wine for being able to bench al kais. You can answer amen after a yid, after a Jew makes a bracha, even if you only hear the end of the bracha. But if you heard a kuzi make a bracha, you don't say amen unless you heard the entire bracha, because we're worried that maybe if you didn't hear the beginning of the bracha, he was saying it to Har Grizim and not to Hashem. Says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanu learned the price of the Rishonim Mishamim Misul Misul that the Machlekes between Mishamim Misul when it comes to things having to do with meals. Mishamim says you make the bracha over the day and then only afterwards make the bracha over the agav and over the wine. Shayim Gardim Liyarin Shavu, because the day is what causes the wine to come. It's because of the day that you're bringing out this cup of wine. Furthermore, first it became a holy day, and then later you brought the wine to the table. So too, in the order of the brachas, you should do the day first. So says you make the bracha over the wine first, and then the bracha over the day. Because the wine is what causes the kiddush to be able to be said. You're only able to say it because you have the cup of wine, or like Rashi says, bread, if it's in the place of the wine. Another reason, the bracha of the wine is more frequent, and the bracha of the day is less frequent. When you have two things, one more frequent than the other, so you do the more frequent one first. And we pass them like Bisil, that first make the bracha oven, and then only afterwards make the bracha over the day. My davar acher, why did he have to bring another reason? Because you might have said, Shammai has two reasons, and Bisil only has one. So over here also, we have two reasons. That the more frequent one should go first. The Bryce said that we pass like Bisil. Pshita. Obviously, we pass like Bisil. The heavenly voice already came out and told us that we pass like Bisil. If I say Makarim Baskel, either you could say this Bryce was taught before the heavenly voice came out. If I say Malachar Baskel, or you could say it was after the heavenly voice came out. Rabbi Yeshua, and it's going to be sure the Amar Ein Mashkich and Baskel, that we don't pay attention to the heavenly voices in terms of how to Paskin Mahalacha. Now, over here, we saw in the Mishnah about benching over wine. So even though it's a sugya elsewhere, you know, just I'll bring him down, you know, just mention quickly
that we have a machlekes, a big machlekes rishonim. Do we paskin that you have to bench over a cup of wine or not? Everybody agrees that it's for sure mitzvah and amulcher. You know, the best way to bench is to bench over a cup of wine. But do you have to or not is a big machlekes rishonim. Some rishonim say no, you don't have to, no matter what. Other Rishonim say, you do have to even if you're benching by yourself. And other Rishonim kind of make up shar and say, if you're benching by yourself, then not. And if you're Ava Mazuman, then yeah. So basically our minhag of Ashkenazim nowadays is that we take on that you don't have to, right? Again, you know, like we said, the Mishnah Berurah basically comes out that our minhag is that if you're benching by yourself, if you don't have a Mazuman, then we don't even say it's a mitzvah and a mufcher to bench over a cup of wine. If you do have a mezuman, so strictly speaking, you don't have to bench over a cup of wine. Strictly speaking, you don't have to. But it is highly, highly encouraged. It's highly encouraged. It's mitzvah and a mufcher. You know, you ought to. You don't have to, but you ought to. Right? I don't know if I could go that far to say you ought to, but it's at the very least encouraged. It's definitely encouraged. But you don't have to. Yeah, so let's just see, Right, so now in this case of the Mishnah, where you have a cup of wine, and the Mishnah says that according to Beis Hillel, you leave it for benching, so obviously, the Magen Avraham speaks out, right, in the name of the Rashba, that's going according to the opinion, that you have to bench over a cup of wine, right? Because if you didn't have to bench over a cup of wine, so then why not, right? So the Shulchan Aruch says, if you have only one cup of wine left over at the end, so leave it for benching. Now, so says the Magen Avraham, it's like this. We mentioned earlier that there's an opinion that holds that if you ate and filled yourself up, right, but you didn't drink and you were thirsty, so that's not called full satiety, and therefore you're not obligated mid-diuresis at the bench, right? So says the Magen Avraham, according to that opinion, right, it would be better, even if you hold that you're supposed to bench over a cup of wine, it would be better to drink the cup of wine if you're thirsty in order to make it that your benching will be diuresis, right, rather than leave the cup of wine to be able to bench over it. And he says, for sure, according to our minhag, right, that we hold that anyway you're not obligated, right, that in general, the general minhag is not to bench over a cup of wine, even when there's a mezuman, then for sure, if a person is thirsty, then if he only has one cup of wine left over, he should drink it and not use it for benching over the cup of wine. However, other poskim say that it could be that if there's a mezuman, it would be better to leave it for the benching. So basically, either way you go, you've got whom to be samech on. But Baruch Hashem, you know, for us, it's not really so nagea. We have, generally speaking, we have plenty of wine. Sometimes a person gets stuck. He didn't calculate right and is only left over. But again, you could just drink water to fill yourself up, you know? So if you're thirsty, you could drink water. You could leave the cup of wine for benching. Okay, Adkan, Beis Hashem, Baruch. Next time, Daf Nun Beis.